God bless you. Welcome. Watch out, Miss Herman. I'll come down, I'll get you. God bless. Please be seated. Good to see y'all. Yeah. Welcome to this wonderful event. I trust that it'll be a blessing and a great time for all of us to hear God's word and to be blessed by God's love. It's always such a blessing to be with God's people. This is overwhelming for me that this many people still want to be together and fellowship around the Word of God. It's just a real awesome privilege for me to be able to be here with you, and I trust that you get really blessed. You know, that's what we're here for. And God's Word does everything we need. Whatever we need, that's what we get this weekend. So whatever it is you might need, you're getting it. If you believe it, you'll get it. You'll get it, and you'll get it. And we don't get it on our good credit. We get it because of God's love. That's right. Several days ago on Facebook, I was blown away. I cried when I saw a song that somebody wrote about this advance. And it reminded me of, you know, when I first got into the God's Word, and how simple and how beautiful and how enthusiastic, without apologies, that this song was. It just, it melted my face in a good way. And to make sure I wasn't crazy, I called my wife to listen to the song, and she felt the exact same way. It just reminded us back when we first got into God's Word, where everything was simple and lovely. And I trust that this weekend will be that way. So to play that song, I asked him if he'd do it. Double M, there he is.
So I wrote this song because I was just really excited about this weekend. It's a thrilling weekend to all of us to be able to get away from the world. Shut off Facebook, stop talking about this damn election, bathroom policies, and whatever, and get back to God's Word and be gathered around like-minded believers who love each other, love God's Word, and are zealous for it. And, you know, we just get so excited about this weekend and looking forward to it. So I wrote a song about it. Here we go.
Can you believe it? Here comes the weekend. Gathered with God's people. And we're gonna speak it, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so excited. I can barely hide it. I've waited so long just to be where I feel I belong. Tucked away from the world, safe from all the pain and lies and hurt. No more running in circles. I'm gonna set my feet on solid ground. We're going to the advance.
That's right.
We're gonna sing and laugh and dance. We're gonna speak God's word like nothing you have ever heard. Can you imagine seeing the word in action? I'm gonna get so built up that I ain't ever coming down. Tucked away from the world, safe from all the pain and lies and hurt. No more running in circles, I'm gonna set my feet on solid ground. We're going to the advance, we're gonna sing and laugh and dance. We're gonna speak God's word like nothing you have ever heard. Let the peace of God come to you. Let the love of God run through you. One, two, three, four. We're going to the advance. We're gonna sing and we're gonna dance. Yeah, we're gonna speak God's word like nothing you have ever heard.
That's pretty good. Love that. Love that. What a heart. What a heart for God. Yeah, that's awesome. Just awesome. Let's go to number 98. It took a miracle. And take a look around. Go on. Don't be ashamed. Look around. We're all walking miracles here. That God would love us so much that he give us his only begotten son, that we could be born of his spirit. That's pretty amazing. I mean, I know my life, I don't know yours. So I'm very thankful he allowed me to get born again and that I could believe. This is such a beautiful song. Here we go. The Bible clearly tells his word, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles and power from on high. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and just silently speak in tongues. Silently speak in tongues and believe that God will do something for that person that they need. Just let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Good. That's good. Father, thank you for the night you've given us. Thank you for your word that you've magnified above your name. We're sure blessed to be able to hear from you right now, those wonderful words of edification by way of exhortation and comfort or comfort. Grateful, Father, for allowing us to be where you've placed us in the body because it pleased you and that we can do our utmost for you to bless you and to help others. Pray for your healing wholeness in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you do and what you've done. It's beautiful. Diane Carr, stand and speak in tongues, interpret. Jason Manuel, tongues interpretation. Nick Snardo, prophecy, please.
You know the desire of God and Father, who is with you always, that I care about the details of your life, and I look to bless you, and I seek to help you. Know that as you come to me with your heart open and your arms outstretched, that I will be sure to be there for you, that I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. For I have given you all things that pertain to this life and godliness, and I have desire for you to be victorious in every way.
Michael Gilmore, prophecy.
And stand up for me, for I'm your God and Father, and I lead you. I will hold your hand, and I will take you through this life. Don't be afraid of anything in your path, for I am with you, my children. What's too hard for me? But remember, I'm there with you to guide you, to strengthen you, and my children, I love you very deeply.
Mike Tracy, please have a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your goodness and love to us, calling us to this day and time to be a part of this fellowship. In our hearts, Father, we know no accident that we're here, and that you know it's no accident that we're here. Thank you for those words that we've heard, how they touch us so deeply that we can hold them in our hearts and minds throughout the weekend. For your goodness and love that's shed abroad by each one of us to each other. For the great weekend that is set before us, we're so grateful and thankful. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Well, God sure loves us, doesn't he? Is Eddie here? Where's Eddie? Eddie, are you here? Stand up, Eddie. It's your birthday. Let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Eddie. Happy birthday to you. God's blessings on you. God's blessings on you. God's blessings on Eddie. God's blessings on you. Big kiss, Daddy. Hey, Eddie. Eddie's getting married in a few months. That'll be good. He's getting married to a girl. That's fantastic. Fantastic, isn't it? Well, we've been waiting for this for a long time. We got Harbor Lights CD. Yay, finally. Yeah, we got available in the bookstore. There's 18 songs on it, so we didn't cheat nobody. And it's just great. I listen to it in my car all the time, and I'm very thankful for these men and women. You know, I met with these guys. It was the first time we'd met in 2 years, somebody said. Thanks for helping me, everyone. I've had the same problem for almost 30 years. We figured out that it was about 30 years ago, honestly, 30 years ago, where Greg Genovese and Jimmy Cahill and me would go in my basement and screw around playing music. So really the genesis of that is about 30 years. And I have been so very blessed. The reason we did it is because I'll tell you a story. After Dr. Victor Paul Weirwill had fallen asleep, a lot of crazy things happened. And my hair turned gray, my teeth started falling out, my back was hurt. I couldn't sleep, there was phone calls, the sky is falling, you know, 8 hours a day. And I was bothered because I wasn't handling things the way I should have. And Joyce said, well, when are you going to do something about it? Thanks for the help. What is that? So I go, what do you mean? She goes, why don't you call Mrs. Weirwill? I'm like, well, I'm going to call Mrs. Weirwill because I got a toothache. So I called Mrs. Weirwill. And I said, Mrs. Weirwill, I'm a mess. And I said to her the things that I just told you. I'm falling apart here. She goes, do you like hunting? No, Mrs. Weirwill, not really. I don't. It's not my favorite thing to do. She goes, do you like fishing? I go, no. She goes, do you like riding your motorcycle? I don't have a motorcycle, Mrs. Weirwill. And of course, she was talking about things that Dr. Weirwill loved to do. So finally, she said, she was frustrated with me, and she said these words, if you were a woman, I'd tell you to go shopping. And she hung up on me. I'm like, Joyce said, well, how did the call go? I go, if I'm a woman, go shopping? I don't know. She goes, Jerry, she's telling you to do something you enjoy doing. And I was like, wow. So I started coaching baseball. And I started playing music again, which I hadn't done in years. And that was about, well, I don't know, 30 minus 16, that's 96. Wait, 2000, forgot the 2006, sorry. It's quick math. 2006, right? And then 96 and 86, there you go. That's the time frame. And it was about 30 years ago that we started. And when we started, we I said, if the best thing that ever comes of this is that we all get to enjoy ourselves doing something that we really enjoy, then this is a great thing. And it really developed into something really special, because I'd share the word for 2 or 3 hours and they'd get mad at me, you know, but we'd eventually get around to playing a song, you know. But man, there was a bond that was built and is built that just was tremendous. So about a month ago, I don't know, about that, right, we got together for the first time in 2 years, and it's like nobody ever left. It was just fantastic. So if you want this CD, it's in the bookstore. It's $10. Well, it's going to be a great night. Already it's a great night. I want you to go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. I thought that in light of us getting together and Pentecost not being that far away, I thought we would do this theme, which I'll read right now, starting in verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls," or about 6,000 feet. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." Following the great day of Pentecost, where they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit for the first time and manifested it by way of speaking in tongues, about 3,000 people got born again. About 3,000 people. That's a lot of people. We have 420, and this is a lot of people. I can't imagine. 3,000. About 3,000. So what and how did the church operate to get to the place where the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved? How did that happen is mentioned in the verses previous to verse 47. It's a template, if you'd like to say that. And it's something really worth looking at and worth believing. And that's what we're going to do this weekend. We are going to cover this section. And I'd like to start in verse 41, where it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." And if you want to see his word, you want to see one of the greatest teachings recorded in the Bible, look at Peter's sermon. Look at Peter's sermon, which we're not going to do today, but tonight. But man, it's a fantastic preaching of God's word. You see, I think the tendency, people swing two ways where they want to get it so perfect when they share God's word that it drives you nuts. You want to punch yourself in the face because you just present it. There's no life to it. It might be the truth of God's word, but where is the heart? Where is the life? You think Peter said, he took his notes and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Come on! That's not a living word. That's a bunch of intellectual crap. I needed to do that. It says here, "They that gladly received his word," they were happy about it. His word wasn't some boring teaching. It was life of God being presented on a silver platter. I'm all for accuracy, but I'm all for heart. They gladly, the word gladly, let's look at this gladly. Gladly means readily or joyfully or joyfully, readily. They were happy about receiving. Just like when you guys walked in, man, this weekend was a success when you drove up. Look at you. Look at you. Golly, the life of God, the light of God's word in a person's heart, shining as bright as you. Holy smokes. You're God's masterpieces, and that's what you are, nothing less. The way the first century church operated, very simple, 41 through 47. And we can learn, we can live, and we can share these truths by living it in our life. And I'd still much rather see a sermon than hear one any day. People can fool you. God's word, though, living in a heart of a person is just something. If God's word and the mystery live in the coming generations, we got to apply this stuff. Not just words on a book, but life, actions in our life. Yeah. We got to not just acknowledge that this stuff is true, but in our hearts believe it with every fiber of our being, that it's our life. When we think of a situation, we think of God. When we think of a situation, we think of his word. When we think about somebody who has a need, we think of how we're going to help them with God's word and God's love. Want to get healed? You got to go where the word is. You want to get blessed? You got to go where the love is. Great man saying that. God's presence and power are constantly in us and with us at all times. Even when we're stinkers, it's still there. God's power, his presence, it's Christ in us, for crying out loud. These aren't words to devotion. These aren't aimless words to get people. It is the life of God. Yeah. They gladly, they readily, they joyfully receive God's word. They weren't bored. They didn't go there and went, and looked at a little thing. Come on. I love my fellowship in my home. How many of you go to my fellowship? Any of you? Yeah. We never get started for 20 minutes. The girls just have everybody laughing. And you know what? I think there's something in the Bible about a merry heart doing good like a medicine. You want to get healed? Laugh a little bit from the heart because of your love, because of the life that we've got. Look at this. And then they that gladly received his word, this is how they received God's word. They were joyful and they were ready to hear it. It wasn't some mundane thing. They were ready to hear the word. They were ready to hear the word. James 1:21 tells us that the believers received with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which was able to save their souls. Save, make whole. You want to make whole your soul? I do. I want my soul to be whole. The way to do that is when we approach God's word, boy, that's it. We receive it meekly. We receive it gladly. We receive it with the readiness of mind so that when we hear the word of God, it isn't just words that float by, but it's words that stick in the depths of our heart to the end that we see it in manifestation in our lives. Acts 17:11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all what? Readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Boy, oh boy, if the church, if the body of believers is really going to function to its apex, to its magnificence, then when we receive God's word, we receive it with joyfulness, we receive it with gladness, and we receive it with readiness of mind. We're ready to hear. We're ready to hear. Bunch of other stuff, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Mike talked about that. Mike McNabb talked about that. He talked about people yelling about politics. What for? What's the point? That's never been any good. That's not going to change. Look, with readiness of mind, they received the word in Acts. Receive with meekness the engrafted word in James. And here in Acts 2, they gladly received it with joyful readiness. They were ready. They were willing. They wanted to hear. They wanted to. You know what got their attention? Speaking in tongues. Oh, that never happened before. When the power of God is manifested by way of the operation of the nine manifestations, things happen, man. Things happen. You know, where's the power in our lives? We ain't got no power. We never hear from God. Then what the heck is he doing? He loves you. He's working in you to willing to do of your his good pleasure. That's right. But that's how they received the word of God. They were joyful, and they were ready to hear it. And it says, the same day were added about 3,000 souls. That's a lot of people. Makes a good case for receiving God's word with readiness and gladness, doesn't it? Good Lord, I think some fellowships would die. They would pass out if a new person ever came. They was like, what's that? I like it. It's all right. So, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles. Oh, I missed something in 41. And it says, they received. His word, were baptized. Received is that word dekomaior. It's a form of it. And it means to receive subjectively, or it means you take what's given to you. That's all it means. Take what's given to you. Take what's given to you. You know, just take what's given to you. That's all. That's all. Pammy, come here. See if you'll take this. That's all yours. Oh, take it easy. Take it easy. There's people. It's all right. It's all right. I love you. She took it joyfully. That's all we need to do with the word. Take it. Take it with the readiness of mind and joy in the heart. Come on. What do you have to lose except blessings? Nothing. That's all. To take what's given, to accept what's offered. That's what this word receive means here. So, verse 42. And then it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. All right. All right. They continued. Continued means they stayed at it over and over and over again. They stayed at it. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Yeah. Steadfast mean they didn't budge. They listened to it. They believed it. They received it joyfully. They received it with the readiness of mind, what the apostles were teaching. An apostle is a ministry given by God to the church. An apostle is one that brings new light to the generation. It might be old light, but it's new light to the generations with which that person lives. That's what an apostle is. An apostle is a sent one, someone who is sent by God to deliver a message. That's what an apostle is. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine, right. And these ministries in the church are a thing of beauty when they are operating. And in order for a ministry to operate, the person that has the ministry needs to believe that they are going to operate. And the people that those ministries are given to, the people that are there, they need to expect that gift to be manifested. And it's a beautiful thing. Let's go to Ephesians 4 very quickly. It is such a blessing. At one point, Rick Gerlachs and I were over here, and I said, look, look. And all we could see is lights of cars coming that looked like a concert or somebody going to a ball game. You know, it was so exciting to see that. It was all you guys coming, getting here, ready, joyfully to hear God's word. 4:12. Well, 11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Those are the five gift ministries that are given to the church. All of them have a different long suit to it. But here's what they're for. All of them are for this, for the perfecting of the saints. That doesn't mean spiritually, because we're spiritually already what? Perfect. They can't improve on our Holy Spirit, can we? But my mind can improve. Can yours? Boy, only a few people. That's fantastic. This whole side of the room is perfect. We don't pay attention to the ministers. You've already got it. You're perfect. This side wins. We're all numbskulls over here. Okay. We need a little help once in a while in the renewed mind. And that is where a minister is supposed to function. You know, if a minister is sitting in some ivory tower someplace and you never see them, you just hear about them, it's like, you know, the Wizard of Oz. A minister is supposed to live with the people. He's supposed to know the people. He's supposed to understand the people. He's supposed to have the heart of the people that he is there to minister to. And when a minister is like that, the people reciprocate. Gosh, it would be awful if all you ever did was be around a minister who yelled at you or said you're not good enough, damn it, get off your ass and all this stuff. Come on, man. Who wants that? Sometimes we need that, but who wants it all the time? You know, you hear people yelling and screaming at you. A minister is supposed to help perfect the saints, and it's supposed to be for the work of the ministry, and it's supposed to be for the building up. Building up, not tearing down. Building up the believers. Yeah. Look at Acts 20. I was sitting in a room once with Dr. Victor Paul Werrell, and he said the key, one of the biggest keys to moving God's word are gift ministries working together, not separate. And I've been the blessed recipient of being with men who have ministries to the church, and I've been with them and worked with them for 30 years. That's one of the reasons we got what we got here. Because we work together, not separate. We sometimes disagree, but we hold the disagreements in abeyance until we can get to it. Not somebody just going, yeah, we got to do it this way, or yeah, we got to. No, it doesn't happen with us. No, no. We work together. We work together, appreciating and respecting one another's long suits. And you do the same with believers. And whether you're a minister or not, every believer has something wonderful to the body of Christ. So verse 20 of chapter 20 of Acts says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Profitable, profitable. That means, you know, you benefit from it. Paul didn't keep anything back that would benefit the believers. But he showed them and he taught them publicly and from house to house. He taught wherever he went. He preached wherever he went. His life was the living word. And that's what's supposed to be happening with people who have ministries to the church. They constantly are with their people. And they didn't hide in some ivory tower. They saw Paul in some pretty rough situations. Like dead. That's a rough situation. That's about as rough as it gets. He got stoned to death. You know, that's rough. You know, dead, that's rough. You know. 2 Samuel. We're going to read the whole book. And then we'll eat breakfast. Second Samuel 23, please. And this is an incredible section that it just blows my mind. Concerning ministers, all right, are you with me? They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. People who had ministries, okay? Apostles specifically then, but today it'd be ministries. And in 2 Samuel, it just shows the heart of what a ministry, a gift minister is supposed to bring. Well, there, look at this. And you know what I've done in the past? I've looked up different men of God's last words or the last thing that they'd said. And this one comes right out in verse 1. It says, now these were the last words of who? So, and I found it always very interesting what they did and what they said if it was the last time they were going to say something. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 2, spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel, that's God, the rock of Israel, spake to me. That means God talked to him. And this is what he said. He that ruleth over men must be just. Somebody who rules over people must be just. They got to be honest. They have to be venerable. Okay? And not only that, but they rule with the respect of God. They don't rule with an iron hand. They rule in the fear of God. They respect God. They understand the greatness and how big God is. And they look at God in awe. Okay? That has to, you know, that's a, here it is, ministers, ministries. And he, this is for those who rule over men. He shall be as the light of the morning. What a beautiful mind picture. When the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds. That's what a minister's supposed to be like. Like a beautiful morning, no clouds, just a beautiful blue sky or whatever you want to think of it, just beautiful. And they're supposed to be as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. That's what a minister's supposed to be like. It's a little different picture than you get people knocking you over the head all the time. You're never right. You're never good enough. You never do enough. Come on. My friend Joe Guarini once said, the Bible can be described in two words. In the Old Testament, do. In the New Testament, done. Maybe you don't like that. I like it. Acts 2:42. So these ministries are someone who help people. They're people who help people. And really, the word minister in the Greek, one of the definitions for minister is someone who waits on you, like a waiter. When you go to a restaurant, you order your food. The waiter gets you exactly what you need and exactly what you want. And if it's not what you really need and want, you ask the waiter to correct it. And the waiter does it. That's what a minister's supposed to do. Supposed to wait on people, help people, be there for people, work with people, be patient with people, be reproving with people sometimes, but always there to wait, to help, to serve. That's what it is. That's what it is. And they, verse 42, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Right believing. Right believing. The right believing of what was taught from God's word by the apostles. What they were taught by God's word from the apostles. And you know what? If you look at the book of Acts, much of it is stuff that was previously written in the word of God that they shared with people, but much was not. It was still the living word of God. Whether they had a verse or whether they were saying, thus saith the Lord, or you ought to do that, it was the word. It was the word of God. Right doctrine, boy. Go to 2 Timothy 2. It's very important. And it's something I've tried my best to stick to. Is what I've been taught in the past from God's rightly divided word. I'm not afraid to learn more. I'm sure there's more to learn, and I have learned more. But the foundation with which I was taught, that's why I'm still here. That's why I still do what I do, and I'm sure that's part of the reason why I get to see what I get to see, what I was taught. I believed it. I still believe it. I believe what I was taught. And I haven't been screwed over for doing it. I've been blessed for doing it. Very happy to do it, too. 2:2, it says, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's all, yeah. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The same, the same. That means you don't change it one iota. The same must remain the same. The same. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's already been invented. I don't need to do it. This word of God is there. It's there for the pickings. For anybody who wants to know it, study it, work it, rightly divide it, and listen to it, and gladly receive it. Man, oh man, and we are blessed recipients when we receive it that way. You know, what have I taught that isn't accurate tonight? Well, don't tell me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm meek. Don't tell me. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, don't change a thing. These about 3,000 people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's something. And, you know, and in fellowship, but see, these guys are all going to teach this stuff. I could go on and on. But the same, you don't change a thing. They stuck to it like glue. I missed something, which isn't surprising. That word steadfastly, that's part of the definition for steadfastly, was they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I thought, oh yeah, here it is. I'm going to go back here and look, just give you the definition of steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. It means to adhere to like a strong glue. It means to be very attentive to. It means to persevere, to not faint, and to be courageous. They persevered. They didn't faint. They were courageous. They stuck to the doctrine like glue. And they were very courageous. In Joshua 1, it says, "Only be thou strong and of good courage." Three different times, at least that I can remember. We need courage. Fear wipes out the word of God in our lives. Wherever and whenever we have fear, we just do not believe God's word rightly, and we got to get rid of it. And the thing that gets rid of it is love. Perfect love casts out what?
Fear.
God hasn't given us a spirit of what?
Fear.
But of what?
Power.
Love, and a sound mind. That's what he's given us. And man, oh man, they stuck to the apostles' doctrine like glue. They didn't budge. They didn't waver. They stuck to it like glue, and they did it with courage. And it takes courage. This life and the adversary is always throwing stuff at us. He knows our weaknesses, and he goes for them, and he tries to get us afraid. And I get that. We've all been afraid at times. And don't say you haven't. I mean, David, a man after God's own heart, was afraid so bad one time his knees shook. They banged on each other. He was scared at times. Don't kid yourself, and don't religiously try to say he wasn't. He was. But what did he do? He went to God, and God helped him. He delivered him. He took care of him. Some people think they're never afraid. That scares me right there. We need help sometimes, people. We're not perfect. That's why we need each other. That's why ministries are important and all that stuff. To help us, man. We need help. We need help. So these about 3,000 continued steadfast. They continued courageous. They gladly received God's word. They stuck to it like glue with courage. They were attentive. And they didn't change a thing. They received it gladly. Go to Romans 6. I'm so happy you're here. You know, I can never sleep. Wednesday it started. I couldn't sleep. Last night was Thursday. There's no sleeping. I left here at around 3:15 to go home and go to the hotel and rest. It's not happening. Not happening. Why? Because I was so excited to see you, thinking about who is going to be here. What do people need? How can we help with God's word, you know? It's just that, the way we live, or the way I live. So, verse 17 of chapter 6 says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered in you." That's what they did. They believed. They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered them. Right doctrine produces fruitful witnessing and great fellowship. Right doctrine produces fruitful witnessing and tremendous fellowship. Look around. Look around. You don't see a bunch of burdened down believers. These guys are the salt of the earth. And there's a reason for that. They believe the word of God. You guys believe the word of God. That's why. It's not because of the clever teachings from Jerry or Bob. It's you believe God's word. You do. You believe it. And we believe it together, and we help each other when we're not. We pick each other up when we fall. We pray for each other. That's why it was nice that what God did tonight. And look, verse 41 through 47 of Acts 2. We'll go back there. You know, I look at these men out there in the parking, you know, getting soaking wet with joy in their hearts, helping you guys in. That's the way, man. That's the way. You guys are the greatest. You're just all great. Today we had, probably 95, 100 people helping. So it was just great. That's why I left at 3:15. I didn't have nothing to do. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear and respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, or those that were being saved. If this is what they did, and the Lord added to the church. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. It says so in Malachi 3:6, I think. And, you know, our attitude towards God determines our spirituality. And that doesn't mean spiritually, because spiritually we're perfect. But our attitude towards God determines where we're going to go. It determines how we're going to go. What's our attitude towards God? If it's one of great respect and great awe, if it's one where we know that God's word is true, then our life is going to be fantastic. We're going to get hit just like everybody else, but the difference is we have answers and we overcome. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, right? More than conquerors, all that. So, you know, our attitude determines a lot in life. If you're a know-it-all, well, then you're a know-it-all. Have fun. Have fun with all that you know. But if we're to live the mystery and move God's word from generation to generation, we must readily and with gladness receive God's word, with courage, sticking to it like a strong adhesive. And doing this with gladness in our hearts produces a great life. And I'd like to close in Psalm 11. 11th Psalm. Got to finish so you can pick up your kids, I guess. I have 132 other scriptures. The 11th Psalm, in verse 3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's think about that. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a figure of speech, meaning not very much. You know, I do my best to teach what I've been taught to the very best of my ability with simplicity. And I don't want the foundations to be destroyed, but they're getting hacked up all over the place. Because people are so smart and people refuse to work with one another because they're so smart. Well, it'll all die. What can the righteous do? It says so. I didn't write this. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. So we do our best to walk with those who are believing God's word rightly divided and living the mystery. That's what we do. We do our best to walk with everybody who wants to rightly divide God's word and live the mystery. And I'll read Acts 2. You just relax. Close your eyes if you want to. Verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." These verses provide a pure and simple way the believers walked, which produced great fruit and great fellowship with each other. If we follow this great template, I expect we'll again see the Lord doing the same thing for us. What a wonderful way to live. Yeah, I wrote down, probably after sharing the word of God on this, the best way to teach this is to live it, because example's always clear. And this weekend we'll be hearing on all these different, I think there's 14 different things here that's covered, but it's a very successful way to live as a believer, and you'll live a happier life living it that way. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then you do whatever you like. Father, thank you so much for how your word is just so wonderful, how you've magnified it above all your name and given it to us so we can hear it in a simple fashion, that it isn't just words on a page, but it's the very life of you, Father. Thank you for all the examples of things people did that helped them succeed and helped them move your word and bless people. I ask you for us having a great night's sleep and a really exciting day tomorrow, hearing your word again. And we're really grateful. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.